Check the vibe. What's up, hip hoppers, and welcome to the special post analysis of the Cold Brew Rapper Draft. I'm your host, Greg, and I talk with Rod J Beer Ventures from, well, the Rod J Beer Ventures channel. He also has a hip hop channel. He's got a bunch of channels, a gaming channel. This guy's busy. I mean, with the pandemic, you know, you got to stay busy. You got to just dive into your hobbies, right? Well, anyway, check this out. So Rob used to be a hip-hop DJ back in his college days, and he and I, he's been on the show before. They talked about beer. This time I thought it'd be a perfect opportunity to invite him back on the show so we could talk about hip-hop. And I had him look at our lists that we created during the rapper draft, our crew, if you will, and I had him evaluate it, you know, because of his long love of hip-hop and his wealth of knowledge. And I gotta say, he was pretty critical, and I was kind of hurt by what he said. But everything he said is true, and I agree with him 100%. But you have to see who, you have to listen, and hear who he picked as the best crew. So you have to wait for that. We also get a little bit into his past. We start off with his past and his hip hop credentials and all that stuff, and then we talk about beer a little bit and talk about his channels, and we even get a little political at the end. You know, he's got some very intelligent viewpoints that I can appreciate. So I didn't mind going off into tangents, and you know, for the long time listeners of the show, you know, we like to go on our tangents, so why would talking with Rod J be any different? All right, so don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Untapped and Twitter to some degree, Cold Brew Podcast. And you can also email us at coldbrewpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of our rapper draft and what you thought of Rod J Beer Ventures analysis of the cruise. All right, so without further ado, here is Rod and I talking about hip hop. I move just like Lou Brock with speed. I'm agile, plus I'm worth your while. 100% intelligent black child. My optic presentation sizzles the retina. How far must you go to gain respect? Well, it's kind of simple. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Hey, Rod. Good to see you, man.
You too. Yeah, I never use Zoom or Skype, bro. So I had to get it all set up here. So.
Oh, my bad. That's what I usually
use. No, it's all good. I'm used to StreamYard most of the time on stuff, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've used that a couple. Do you get a clicking noise when you use StreamYard?
I don't, no.
Oh, okay. I have some friends who use it, and they complain that every time they use it, there's like a clicking noise, like when someone starts talking, and it's just real quick.
No, I mean, it's you can pick up some background noises maybe sometimes or whatever. I think it might be something with the connection with the microphone or something if they're getting that.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I told him. It was probably hardware.
Yeah. So what's been going on?
Not much, man. So we got this special episode that we recorded. It's in the can. In fact, I was just putting the finishing touches on it this morning. But my brother and a friend of ours and I, we did a rapper draft.
Okay.
And I know from your background, you used to be a DJ in college, right?
Yeah, back in the 90s, yeah.
What were some of your favorite hip-hop acts back then in the 90s, man?
Oh, back in the 90s, that was like the golden era. So it was
It was.
Public Enemy, Boogie Down Productions, Stetson Sonic, Digital Underground.
Man, R.I.P. Shock G.
Big Daddy Kane, Kool G Rap, DJ Polo, Eric B. Rakim. You know, it was all the stuff was going on. So, MC Light. So,
yeah. Who do you think the best lyricist was back then?
Back then, as far as the lyricists, a lot of people held Rakim pretty high. He was actually one of the ones that I would say would be kind of that top. There would have been like a Mount Rushmore at that time. He would have been on that Mount Rushmore
for sure.
Of hip-hop artists. Big Daddy Kane would have been up there as well.
You know, back then you had the emergence of the Wu-Tang Clan when they came out. Redman was always a top one as well as being up there. You know, as far as like duos, you know, everybody knew Run DMC, but EPMD was probably one of the best duos out as well. So there's just a lot. There's a lot of talent back then.
Right.
You know, as you just hear, you know, just the different lyrics. Pete Rock, CL Smooth. CL was Smooth. Guru from Gangstar.
He gets overlooked a lot, man.
Yeah. His lines that he had on stuff. It was just, the talent was crazy. It was just crazy.
What do you think about the rappers today, man?
I don't listen to them as much today. Yeah. Occasionally I'll catch like Kendrick Lamar will have something out there. I'll catch some of the underground stuff. Some of the stuff that I'll see like on videos. I don't know all their names, but out of the UK, kind of, they got some of the same attitude that we had back in the 90s and stuff. So what they're saying is more on point with how, you know, it was about issues and stuff like that being discussed. Like their grime artists over there are pretty deep on some of the stuff they're putting together. But nowadays, you know, I see someone like, you know, Cardi B doesn't really do much for me because Cardi B is just like, you know, a remake of a Little Kim or so, in my opinion. When I see her or hear her doing stuff, it's just like a next level of that. Or I will say that some of the stuff Megan Thee Stallion has done has been pretty good.
Yeah.
I like some of her stuff that she's actually had out there.
I like the way she throws she's got an homage to back to the 90s rap. She'll do like a something like a beat or just an idea that like Tupac has done, but you know, with that one song she's got. So yeah, I really appreciate she does that. She's like paying tribute to the people who've done it before her.
Yeah. So she has kind of that feel to her music. I'm trying to think any of the other newer artists. I don't usually just hear them as much. So it's kind of like there's a lot of it, you know, there's a lot of stuff with the whole mumble rap type thing. So I don't really get into that much. So
yeah, they're not artists, but I know
they're
you're
not
talking
all.
About.
They're not. Yeah.
The pill poppers, man.
It's what radio stations play. Radio is so commercialized now.
Yeah.
Growing up in an 80s and 90s, you have more independent stations, so you got more flavor on stuff, and it wasn't all being controlled. Now 90-some% are all owned by Radio One, whoever it may be, and they all got charts. You got to play certain songs, so a lot of independent artists don't get to hear as much. That's what I loved about college radio, because
it was
about playing stuff you weren't playing on the mainstream. You know, that's why I like picked up like Cypress Hill and all that stuff back then. You know, you get a new record in, and it's like, oh, you got to check this out type thing. So yeah.
Did you like, you had to do your own programming then?
Yeah, well, initially with the college station that we had, we would do, it was an alternative station. So you had to basically do your first semester or whatever you were on it for like 3 months were overnight. So to get used to it. So you were like 12 to 3 or 3 to 6. And that was alternative. Right. But you chose what records. The radio stations have like a dial. It's like a circle chart, and you have to play certain categories at certain times, play the commercials in, all that kind of stuff. But you'd be able to choose from what you would want in that category. So when I started off with the alternative stuff, I was playing stuff like the Rollins Band. I was playing like some of the old Nirvana before they broke big, some of the REM, Cowboy Junkies, a lot of alternative type stuff.
Yep.
And then after you go through, there's special shows that you can actually do. So our hip hop show was like the Urban Diner, where it'd be like hip hop, blues, house, all kinds of stuff that we would mix in there. But that was up to us on what we wanted to play. So yeah, once I got into that, I was doing all the programming of the songs I wanted to play as well.
That's when it got more fun, huh?
Yeah. You get to kind of choose what you wanted to put in there, and you get to mix it up and all that kind of stuff. So, which was awesome.
Did you meet anybody, like any, or like give any interviews or anything to any rappers back then?
Yeah, back in the day, I went to one of the first big, like, Source type events. So I interviewed, like, Nas. I interviewed Busta Rhymes.
Oh, shit.
Biz Markie, Shock G, RIP. You know, he just died.
I've seen him twice in concert.
Yeah, Cool G Rap. Lords of the Underground. I was at the same place with Tupac and Tribe Called Quest, but I didn't interview him there.
Okay.
But different artists over different time. I mean, I have one of my friends that used to be a DJ with me. He has all the old tapes. He's actually out in Southern Cal. And he's like, oh, yeah, remember we did so-and-so. I forgot about it. He's like, you've got tapes of us, like, talking to different people and stuff.
No shit. Are you trying to get a copy of those?
Yeah, I keep telling him he needs to give me copies. They're on cassette, and he's going to do them. But time flies by, you forget about them. So, yeah. Yeah, but we had, like, Busta Rhymes record a commercial for our station. And we had Kool G Rap do one, a couple of the other guys was out there, you know. When we went to the event, we were partying with the guys and stuff too. So it was pretty cool. We got a chance to meet him. Shock G was a real down to earth person. So I was glad to, you know, meet him for a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. King T was another one I met out there. It's a few different artists along those lines. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty fucking awesome, man. I kind of wanted to do that. I always fancy myself trying to be a DJ. I used to make like mixtapes for my friends. Like I would get like, you know, the CDs, and I make tapes, and my friends liked them because my dad had this really, really great stereo system where you can control the level, so I can make all the songs at the same level and not going high or low. And I used to use the CD cuts. I never had like radio DJs in there or anything, so I always had clean tapes. So I used to make them for myself, and then I'd make them for a couple friends here and there, but. I used to love fancy myself as a DJ and making playlists and all that shit. So I kind of wanted to get into that. Never got into it. I thought it would be fun. But I was always interested in sound. Maybe that's why I got into podcasting, because I don't like hearing my voice, but I like being able to edit it and make it sound great.
Yeah.
So I'm always.
Nobody in radio ever likes their voice.
No, that's man. The thing. No.
It's so funny. Like, everyone of us that worked at a radio station would talk about how we hated our voice, but, you know, we just don't sound the same in our head that we actually do.
No.
And, you know, you become used to it, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah, I'm used to my voice now. I still don't like it, but I'm used to it. Like, I always, like, wish I had, like, I was actually looking, like, how could I add more bass to my voice? Which knob do I got to turn? But anyway, let's get back to the rap. So what we did is we did a rapper draft. The rules are pretty simple. There's going to be 7 rounds. We kind of modeled it after the NFL draft. Now, this was my brother's idea, because I don't know if you remember, there was a podcast, I think it was called, like, Beats and Brews or Brews Rhymes Light. I forgot who it was, but it came out a year ago, and they declared the top 50 rappers of all time.
I did not see that. Okay.
And it made the rounds on social media for like a week, and people, of course, making comments, because right away everyone disagrees, right?
Yeah.
and so I told my brother, I go, we got to do something like this. And he came up with, what if we do like a draft? So we waited till the NFL draft. It's going to drop the same day. So it's, there's 7 rounds, like the NFL draft. We each took turns. We drew names out of a hat. And so there was first, second, third. I'm not going to tell you, because I'm gonna send you a picture. I'm going to DM you the picture of the charts, because I kind of want you to evaluate them and tell me what you think. And so I don't want to give you the order. And then the other rule was they could be alive or dead. Doesn't matter. And you can't do groups. You have to only do individual artists.
It's individual, okay.
Yeah, that way you're not saying Wu-Tang, and then you have fucking ODB and Method Man and Raekwon, you know?
Right, but you can take the individual artists from the groups.
Right, yeah, exactly.
All
right, so let me see here. Let me get to our DMs here. I'll DM you. Slide into your DMs right now.
All right.
And
take a look here.
There you go. I just took a picture of my computer screen.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So there you go. What do you think? So we have on. I'll announce it for our those who are listening right now. So, team one, crew number one, we have Biggie, Mos Def, Rakim, Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Drake, and Q-Tip. Team number two, we have Method Man, Eminem, Ice Cube, LL Cool J, Redman, DaBaby, and Nicki Minaj. And team number three. Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, Big Daddy Kane, Kanye West, J. Cole, Nas, and Common.
Okay.
Now, what do you see? Evaluate team number one for me.
So you drafted 3 teams, like.
So one of them is me, one of them is my brother, and the other one is LT.
Okay, gotcha.
We assembled our own crew. We took turns, and that was the order. So first, second, third, each got and. On the left, the column is the round, the draft round.
Gotcha. Okay.
So what are you, team number one, the first column?
Overall, I mean, the team number one definitely has a good amount of the heavyweights there, I guess you can say. You right. got Biggie, you got Most Def. A lot of people don't get to hear Most Def as much, but yeah. What he has, Rakim, of course, I mentioned, Tupac, Snoop, Q-Tip, and Drake. I mean, Drake would be the low person on the team there, in my opinion.
Yeah, but probably the highest selling.
Yeah, right over. So, well, yeah, I mean, he's kind of like that. Well, it's like the studio made the rap star type thing. I mean, he's got lyrics, but it's kind of like the studio. He's got the big studio push behind him as well, too.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a pretty solid team there.
Yeah.
The second team, obviously pretty solid too, with Meth and Eminem and Ice Cube, LL, which a lot of people just don't know a lot of the LL history, but he's got crazy lyrics as well. You got Red, Nicki Minaj, and DaBaby. It's DaBaby I would put like there with kind of probably with Drake. I'll probably give a little bit more of a nod to team one over two. I mean, Nicki right. Minaj is she's good, but Nicki Minaj, again, to me, is just like another level of kind of like Lil' Kim. So it's kind of like she's solid, but compared to as being legendary, I wouldn't put her in like a legendary type situation.
Yeah, I think with DaBaby, it's just his story isn't written yet, but he's starting off great.
Yeah, yeah. And then team three, you got Jay-Z, you got Kendrick, Big Daddy Kane, Kanye West, J. Cole, Nas, Common. That's a pretty solid squad as well.
Which one do you like the best? I'm not saying that they are the best, but which one do you like the best? Who would you? Which team would you select? Which jersey would you buy?
Probably on these, it probably would be team one. Who I'd right. probably go with the most. Team three is pretty good. I mean, Big Daddy Kane, you know, that goes back to when I was doing stuff, like I said, Nas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Common, I mean, I knew Common when Common was Common Sense was the name of the group. So mm-hmm. that goes back there. J. Cole is solid. The problem with Kanye is so I just feel like his stuff, you know, through the wire and everything. And then when he came out later, I feel like he became a little bit too commercialized with some of his stuff. So Kanye doesn't always sit with me, but he still has great bars when he does stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd probably say team one overall.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no beef with that. I think all these teams are great in their own right. But yeah, so I'll reveal who drafted who. So team one is my brother, Sorcerer Chromatic. He got to go first. I'm team two. And our buddy LT is team three.
Okay.
Now, nice. My brother, one of his favorite rappers of all time is Mos Def. He's seen him a few times. But he said he had to go with Biggie at number one overall. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. See, I've always struggled with Biggie. Like, Biggie's not really number one for me.
Okay.
Overall, I mean, Biggie to me is like a top five, but I don't know. It's just different. It's like, I feel like there's people that you just don't get the exposure as you heard some of the lyrics and stuff before. It's always a tough one, right? Because every era has their own like leader or so. But, mm-hmm. you know, for me, like some of the things that I would hear from Rakim, I kind of have him up there, maybe one, maybe ahead of Biggie. Freestyling Biggie is pretty solid. He's probably one of the best freestylers I've ever seen. But see, one of the best rappers that I've, like I said, I interviewed him as well. And if you have ever saw him like freestyle or do some of their stuff he does, and that really changed the game that you guys don't have listed, is Busta.
Yeah.
Busta's done crazy stuff. Busta was the first one to really speed up flows in and out on a lot of the rap tunes where you can go fast and slow back and forth, dropping in reggae type beats on some of the stuff he was doing. And he's one of the most versatile rappers that ever been out there. And that's why his last album is like, it took, you know, so many years in the making and why it's blown up so much.
His latest album.
He's one of the top ones. Yeah.
Evolution Theory 3 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's like a masterpiece with different people in there. In the '90s, your remix wasn't even certified unless you had Busta Rhymes on the remix. So
like Scenario remix.
Yeah, so it's like how he did not make the cut. You know, that's surprising on my end. Like if there was a category for like maybe like the NCAA brackets or whatever, and it's kind of like who didn't get in that should have got in. Like Busta should easily been in there.
Right.
Busta's okay. One of the top ones out there. And like there's like just and then you don't have KRS-One. And there's two rappers that you ask in the MC community, like they say two people you don't want to have headline your show or go into a freestyle with. And a lot of times it's mentioned it's Busta Rhymes and KRS-One.
Right.
Like people don't want to beef with those, and it's like they're not on here as well.
He was on my list. I gave him an honorable mention.
he's one of the top five for sure.
Right. Like I said, this wasn't a list of our the best. This was just a list of our favorites. This is the crew you wanted.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So yeah, I threw in Nicki Minaj because I wanted a woman on the team. I wanted a woman on the crew, and I thought for right now. I think she's the best rapper right now, the best female rapper.
Yeah, but if you look at Nicki Minaj and you go back versus MC Light, I would take Light all day.
The knock I gave for Nicki was that she went pop for a while.
Yeah. She
with the EDM and all that, the David Guetta stuff and the high dance music, but she came back and I'll say it on the show, but I said it on the show, but I'll say it again. Her remix with ASAP Ferg on Plain Jane, I thought she spit better than he did.
Yeah. No, she can definitely go, but
she's the queen.
MC Light is huge. You know, you talk about female rappers, Roxanne Shanté, she was huge. And she took on all the female rappers. Her song Big Mama just dissed all the other women for the most part. None of them could come back against her. I mean, she was dissing guys and stuff too. So it was kind of like she would be up there. You know, if there was a Mount Rushmore of female hip hop artists, you'd have like a Light. You probably have like a Shanté there as well. I'll say Latifah's the one that really opened up the door for a lot of the females when she was doing stuff.
My only knock on Latifah is I didn't care for the beats that she used. But that's not her fault. Yeah. Like for her songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she was. Depending on what it like, her first album, her Lady's First album came out. That was pretty good.
I like and that she song. Had
some other stuff that became more. Some of the other stuff became more. They kind of like I won't say pop centric, but it was more R&B type feel than hip hop with some of her stuff. So, yeah,
right.
But you know, so she was out there doing stuff, and then you had what you call him? Like I said, Lil Kim, who I think was up there. And then you also had who was part of the firm, Foxy Brown. Foxy Brown.
Oh, I forgot about her.
Yeah, Foxy Brown. Mm-hmm. He also had DeBrat. DeBrat was fired up out there, so she had a lot of good stuff coming out too when she was doing some different things. So you definitely had a lot. You definitely had some ones out there that were doing things for sure.
Right. This is not an all encompassing list. This was just a fun. Yeah. Just a fun.
It's always episode. Tough.
It is.
Yeah.
And I even said, and I even second guess some of my shit too. I went with Method first. I just love his what do they call them? His lyrics, his shit. The word escapes me now. Not similes, but what the fuck is that word?
For what, like his
the imagery that he uses or his wordplay that he likes to use his similes. What's the opposite of a simile?
Like metaphors?
Metaphor. Yeah. They call it metaphor. Okay. They're not true metaphors, but that's what they call it in rap. His metaphors are fucking above everybody else's, in my opinion. And I just like his flow. I just like his voice. I just think for me, he's the best. That's why I drafted him first. And
I can't believe Nas was in the sixth. Nas is one of the best ones out there too.
Yeah, I think maybe it's because he's fallen off, or he hasn't fallen off. He just hasn't put anything out in a while. He did have that album, what, like a year or two ago? That was pretty good.
Yeah,
I listened to that one. He got a little clap back from what's her name? Doja Cat. He made fun of, or he kind of he dissed her on his track, not on purpose. It was more like a just because it made sense in the lyric. I think I don't think he really meant to attack her, and then she took it as a huge diss. And I think he made the comment on the color of her skin.
Yeah.
But that's rap, man. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Ice Cube was always one of my favorites of all time. He was like when I was in high school, he brought those three albums out. Death Certificate and Predator and Lethal Injection, and I just was all in on Ice Cube back then. So that was more of a sentimental pick.
Yeah. Well, his initial solo when he broke off from NWA in that regard just was crazy as well.
Yeah, the America's Most Wanted or the EP that he put out right before?
No, it was the was it America's Most Wanted? I don't think it was America's Most Wanted.
He had Jack and for Beats. He had the Jack and for Beats on it. The EP release. No, this Kill, was, Killer Will.
Let me see. Got my mind. I must be getting old. Yeah, America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
That's the one. That was his first one. Yeah, the other one was the EP with Jack and for Beats on it too.
That was when they hooked up. He hooked up with the what do you call it? Public Enemy.
That was producers,
right? The Bomb Squad.
Yeah, the Bomb Squad. Yeah. That's when he hooked up. Yeah, and but America's Most Wanted kind of just set everything off there.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, I had no idea because I didn't read the source or Vibe. There was no internet back then. So when Ice Cube left NWA, I was hurt. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then now all this, you know, all the stories later, including the movie and all that. Now I get it. Put it in perspective. Yeah. But so it took me a while. But I mean, when those three albums came out, I was all in. And LL, you're right. Going back to the three albums, he had Mama Said, 14 Shots, and Mr. Smith, and the range that he displayed in all of those albums was just amazing.
Well, you go back to the initial album when he did Radio, it was huge, and when he made his appearance in the Crush Groove movie back in 83, saw LL. I mean, that's what made the movie. Everybody was talking about LL Scene when he came in with the Radio. So between that and I Need a Beat when he first released that, I mean, he came out on fire and never really looked back. And probably the one album that was probably the lowest of any of them had been Walking with the Panther, because they only had a couple really good ones on that. But most of his stuff has always been fire. When he did the 4-3-2-1 remix as well, he put it up there. And he said some tracks going in on people. And he had a couple of tracks going back and forth against KRS-One when they were doing stuff as well, kind of their rap battle. So, I mean, he was on fire.
Yeah. All right. Anything you'd like to add to the cruise, or to your evaluation of the cruise? Anything you'd like to, would you like to come up with your own crew, your dream crew?
My dream crew?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't in the draft though. So,
I know. Mean, just you know, maybe top five on your top of your head. Who would be your top five?
If I had the top five on my head here, trying to get my screen correct, I'd have Rakim, I'd have KRS-One, I probably would have Rakim, KRS-One, I'll go ahead and put Biggie in there, I'd have Nas, and I'm gonna say, man, I'm in a crossroads there because I'm thinking of
probably thinking
Guru
of three different
and Redman, but I think I'd probably have Redman because you know what? Actually, I'd probably have Busta, and then I would have Redman. So that's
okay.
Like a six type person. Yeah.
Six pack.
Guru seven. Yeah.
Six man coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Drain a couple threes and go sit back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, man. That was great. Hey, how's the beer videos going, man?
The beer videos and everything are going fine. So the beer channel's just rolling and still kicking along. So, still putting those out, and now that get back out there, hopefully just some of these breweries just had the second vaccination. So now I'm hoping to get back out and check out some breweries and get that going again too. But no, tons of beers that I'm still reviewing here and tons of stuff I'm doing there and trying to get the word out on it.
Any like recent favorites that you came across that were fire?
I just had finally one from Dovetail that I like, that one of the guys, Dave, that I know from Beer in Front podcast, he sent me out of Chicago. It was a Rouse beer that was actually pretty decent. I've become a fan of that style. I like the smoked malts they use when they make those. So it was nice seeing an American brewery that actually were kind of putting some stuff down with it as well. So those were actually pretty good. I think of some other ones that I've actually had recently. I'm always like so much in the moment. I can never remember everything offhand because I just kind of go from one to the next.
There's so many out there, man. You got 7,000 breweries and they each have like, you know, 10 beers. It's like 70,000 beers. It's hard to try them all.
That's the thing. Like, there's so much that are going on now that it's trying to keep up on it all.
Oh, for real.
Let's see here. There was one I know I had recently. I'm trying to think what it was. That was pretty good. I did finally find the Waldos, but I haven't drank those yet. So.
Oh, you can wait on those, man. Good. Triple IPAs. Yeah. They'll hold.
Dino S'mores I have from Off Color out of Chicago. That was actually pretty good.
I've seen them on. I've seen those on Instagram. Seem to be very popular right now.
Yeah. And then Odd Side Ales, they have one, the Hipster Brunched Out. They have one that's really tasty. That was 11% ABV. Oof. I did have that one. They're out of Grand Haven, Michigan, but that was actually like pretty much brunch in a glass. And then I've been hit up. I haven't got anything recently, but Hop Butcher had me in the fold. They were getting me some stuff, and Hop Butcher is lighting it up on the beer front and stuff they're putting out. So any Hop Butcher beer you get is pretty much fire at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen them. I think I might follow them on Instagram, but I have seen people post their beers. And
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I can't get them right now, but anything I see online just looks so great. It makes me feel like what I have in my fridge is trash, but it's probably everyone's probably feeling the same fucking way, right?
Yeah. You see, I need that. Yeah. Sam Adams, we have this Sam Adams Brewing here in Cincinnati, and they actually had reached out a while back and they got me like a double barrel aged Bock. They did. That was really good. So, yeah. And I got it from them because they wanted me to check it out and give a review on it. And they teamed up with one of our local bakeries who have Maker's Mark balls they made to pair with it, chocolate balls.
Oh, wow.
So that was a really nice one to go through. They gave me like a 25 ounce bottle or whatever. So yeah, I was feeling good after pairing those together.
Well, pretty soon, man, you'll be able to go out and actually, you know, maybe do some bottle shares and share your deliciousness with everybody.
Yeah, it'd be nice. So I just, like I said, second vaccine shot on Friday, so you're supposed to wait a couple weeks to be 100% vaccinated or so, but definitely going to get back out and see some of the different breweries and everything. And then you're talking about the hip-hop stuff, so I've got the hip-hop channel. I haven't updated stuff in a while, but I need to get back and add some videos there as well. But that's the Hip-Hop Chronicles that I have now on YouTube. And I kind of started that one to add stories around hip hop that most people didn't really realize. Mm-hmm. So some of it's a look back on stuff. Like I did one on Stetson Sonic and I did one on the impact of Public Enemy Fight the Power and some different stuff like that. But the biggest video, which is crazy, I did about the influence of Kraftwerk in early hip hop that people didn't really maybe not known about. And Kraftwerk, they're out of over in Europe.
Germany,
but
right?
Germany. They were an electronic, you know, band, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it back then. They were doing a different stuff, but that was key to, like, sampling by, you know, African Bambaataa and different DJs. So you think of songs like Tour de France, or you think of Numbers, and you think of some of the other ones like that, like the breakdance or anything, it was all like coming from Kraftwerk sampling. So okay. It was kind of when that channel was an introduction to Kraftwerk, who they were and how they, you know, mistakenly became this influence in hip hop that people weren't aware of. And people have been kind of tuning into that video and kind of checking it out and stuff. So that's been pretty interesting.
Yeah, you got Planet Rock song. I mean, there's all that the synth in there.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like Kraftwerk, and you'll see that they're like in the early 80s, they were like one of the biggest sample type artists out there. And there's like so many different things that have hits. You know, you think about there was the one that was that song, The Egyptian Lover. That was sampling that was sampling like some of the Kraftwerk stuff. So it's just all these different info. You never know where it's gonna come from. But they were like one of the untold stories, I thought, around hip hop, which is why I call Hip Hop Chronicles, because I try to share different things people may not fully have taken a look at or know about. This was one of those things, like, hey, a lot of these early things you were listening to was coming from this group over in Germany you never heard about previously.
Yeah.
Who's basically their beats were being resampled, and it kind of, and it blew them back up. Like a lot of people were then listening to some of the Kraftwerk songs. So
I got to check that out, man. Hip Hop Chronicles. I remember you telling me you're going to do that, and I just didn't follow up on it. I got to check it out.
Yeah. So it's Rod J Hip Hop Chronicles. I got some other stuff, but I got some people that have been asking me, like, when am I doing the next Chronicle or something like that. And I've gotten the beer stuff kind of has got me going there more. So I've been kind of tied into that. Yeah. I also did like a Voo channel, and I did a gaming channel.
Yeah,
so I
got doing that everything. Rolling.
Yeah, I just try to do different stuff. So everything's like under Rod J for the most part, but I'm just trying to experiment with other stuff out there. I got a reaction channel I'm working on right now to kind of just share some videos reacting to some different things too. So that's going to be more like some of the movie type stuff and maybe stuff in the news that happens, kind of, you know, feedback on things. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, shit, man. It sounds like you got some fun shit going on, dude.
trying.
I'm happy for you, man. I really appreciate you. In fact, I love that that podcast you did with Shalandra, the Girl Talks Beer.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
I thought that was fucking great. It made me think, especially right after all the stuff that went down and you guys actually made me think, gave me a different perspective on just not only life, but just culture. And I thought it was great. I thought it was,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I'd love to hear you and her do another spot, soon.
Oh, we will. I mean, we've done stuff on her channel. We've done stuff on mine. She's been on mine a couple times. A couple weeks, might have been like a month or so back now. I did a Women in Volume Part 1 on the channel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I had her on there, and I had the Beer Babe from Twitter, and I had M from Pints and Panels, Julie from her beer thing. So I had like six different women from around the beer industry.
Yeah.
And we just got into some of the different stuff, some of the things taking place, things they see that, you know, how is things affect them for, you know, misogyny or like if it's racism or whatever it may be. So we kind of talked about the ism type part of it, and we got in all kinds of stuff and the things they like to see for improvement, but also things they like about being in the beer community too. So it was a great chat. We had a lot of people that tuned in for that one there. So yeah, I'm always trying to bring those different type of things out. But yeah, anytime I get ABC on, it's always a good time. We don't hold back. I also had Mickey on from Black and Brew Chicago just recently, a few weeks ago, talked about the stuff that she's doing there for diversity and inclusion as well. So yeah, so I like having that format to be able to do that. You know, I don't want to be just like in every other beer channel out there. You know, I feel like there's an opportunity to bring different things out, and that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. You bring a different energy to the show when you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And definitely it's more, it keeps things, it's more fun, but it also gives people a different perspective, like it did for me.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate your time, and hopefully we could do some sooner than later again.
Yeah. It's been a while, so hopefully your cold brew podcast is rolling well, too. So hadn't been, you know, over there in a bit, so always like checking you out and keep doing what you're doing as well. Keep
thanks,
telling
man.
Stories.
Well, check out the Rap Draft. We don't really talk about beer, but we do give our reasonings for our picks.
Yeah. Okay.
So check that one out. Nice. That one comes out, and this will come out the same day, April 29th.
Yeah, that's like, was that next Thursday?
Yeah.
For the draft, yeah.
Yep.
The draft usually starts Thursday night, so yeah.
Yep, that's it, man. How's your team doing?
I don't really watch the NFL anymore that much.
No,
I'm more college at this point. So I was, the NFL kind of soured me after the whole Kaepernick situation. So
okay,
I kind of stopped watching it. And I mean, you know, now they come back later, like, oh, make it seem like Kaepernick, you know, was not a bag. I was like,
yeah, that's all fucking bullshit. His
career and all that stuff too. So it's kind of like, you know, I don't really pay much attention to it. The last few years, I can't even. I haven't watched a full game in the last few years, although I kind of took some looks at the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl, to see how they were doing in that game. But, yeah, it's just been, you know, kind of – I immerse myself more in college. I'm just more in the college fan now, just kind of checking out the college teams. And, of course, went to school at West Virginia, so I followed WVU. And the Big 12 has been a great league, so we've been watching some great games there.
Yeah, the Big 12, they're rivaling the SEC, man. They're coming up.
Yeah, they definitely are. So, but you know, it's, you know, the whole thing with the way it was treated with Colin is just, you know, microcosm of the issues that we face across the country in different regards. So, you know, it was this week we had the big verdict from the George Floyd trial.
Right.
Still got to wait to see what the sentencing is going to be. Still got to wait to see, you know, what I'm saying, like the appeal. Because, I mean, I feel like there's an opportunity out there now. Like, even that judge brought up, you know, kind of some of the stuff being made. They may file for something, like, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then, not even a day later, we have this shooting down in North Carolina that I'm kind of watching, too, where the guy was supposed to be served a warrant or whatever, but he had no gun, but yet he ended up shot in the back again. It's crazy. So a lot of that comes into play, and there's other cases out there. I know everybody's talking about the one in Ohio with a teenager, but I don't put every category, I don't put everyone in the same thing. Like, when you look at the video of that one, it's like, unfortunately, she looked like she was about to stab someone, and the police had to make a split decision.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so police have to make decisions out there as well. Like I said, mm-hmm. I'm not against police. I'm against bad police. So it's kind of like that one. She was about to do something. Now, if you were the parent or whatever of that girl in the pink that was about to get stabbed, you're probably happy the policeman stepped in. So yeah, that one is a little bit different. But when you have the ones with the unarmed and stuff like that, or you have right out of Minnesota as well, where there was no need to get shot, the taser type situation.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was my taser.
yeah. And like you're yelling it, you're saying it, but yet your gun's out in front like you didn't notice that. Plus the way they're trained and it's on the opposite side than where the gun's supposed to be, and
yeah,
to think that this person was actually training the police that were out there too. She was a trainer when she did this, so it's just like there's like a bunch of other stuff out there. So
yeah, you know, they definitely need more training. Not just, you know, how to shoot, but also when to shoot or try to de-escalate situations.
And
Or even de-escalate if it does get physical, to not use your gun, to learn how to, like, you know, some jujitsu or some type of, you know, to be able to subdue someone safely.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen other countries, like, you know, in the UK, where they've taken down people with a knife and they don't have a gun.
Yeah.
So there's different techniques that can be learned.
Right.
And
not just once, but just reinforce it like every month or so, you know, go back to that training. It's all about, you know, repetition. If you show them once and they never use it for like, you know, 12 years or whatever, then they shoot someone, you know, in the line of duty. Then it's like, well, shit, you guys didn't, you know, you guys showed them back in the academy and that was it. Like, you expect them to remember it?
Yeah. It's training. It's a big part of it. You know, people were asking why, you know, the cop didn't try to shoot her in the leg or whatever. And I'm like, shooting in the leg is something you see like on TV or in the movies, right?
Yeah, Danny Glover.
When you go through police training, they're taught to shoot center mass, and they're taught to put someone down when they do shoot. So shooting four times, I think four was definitely excessive, but he was going through the training that was being provided there. Mm-hmm. And he was responding to someone else's life being in possible jeopardy, which allowed him to do that based on his training. So you have to get into the training. You have to get into stuff. I mean, there's a whole big discussion to be had on that, which I know, like you mentioned, ABC, we went through some of that stuff on one of our podcasts before. But it gets in a lot of it, I think, to community police. And I think it gets into federal standards. There should be a federal standard way of training, so all police are trained the same way. Mm-hmm. You have some departments that are trained a lot better than others. I think when you put police back in the communities they serve, they have more of a tie to them. They know the people there. There's more of a chance of not having something go sideways when you know that person, that's the officer. You also take away qualified immunity. If police know they're at stake for losing their pension or going to jail for when they act out wrong for what they're supposed to do, that could be something. I know New Mexico was the latest state that ended qualified immunity behind Colorado. So there's different ways you can attack it from different things, but everybody needs to get on the same page for sure. When everybody wants protection, it's just, you know, it's not being fairly done across the board for everyone.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas out there, and it's hard, like you said, it's hard for everyone to get on the same page, but I think we're working towards that, and that's the optimist in me, though.
Yeah, well, everybody's got their interests, so
that too. Yeah,
so follow the money too. that plays into it as well. I mean, the NRA has a lot of politicians in their pocket, so all that comes into play. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, right now, you know, you go up to the presidential level, there's stuff being talked, but I'll believe it when I see it, because at the same point, you know, the current president we have now, Joe Biden, it was his co-writing of the law that led to the mass incarceration for a lot of people back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So at the same point, getting at some of this, there should have been some application to try to resolve that as well, because that again falls under some of the same situations that we're seeing out there, because it targeted more Black and brown people more than anybody else under that legislation. So we have people that are probably still sitting in jail penalized for that, that weren't a threat, that might have been, you know, some people might have been selling weed or whatever may have been out there, but they weren't a threat that they should be still in jail, especially now that you have states legalizing it. So I'm waiting for reporters to start asking him questions about, well, what about what you signed into law, or what you proposed back then? Because I never heard him, you know, make any type of apology or saying it was, you know, was wrong. He was looking around. And like when Hillary Clinton ran in 2016, Bill came out and said that was wrong for what they looked at, and he actually apologized for them putting it in place. But I never saw Joe Biden actually do that. So it's just interesting. But that's a whole different thing between away from the beer and the hip hop and all that stuff. But
we love tangents on the show, man. We go on tangents all the time. We get derailed, and then I always have to bring it back. So I loved hearing, but I like hearing your take on it, because it makes me think.
Yeah, well, that's the fun thing we do, and like I said, it's open platform when I do the show, so we never know. Like I said, when I have ABC on there, it's kind of like we get into stuff, and it's like not even planning to get into some of the stuff, but it just takes that direction, and we go with it, and you know, we respond to it. So
yeah, don't fight it, because you know we're all thinking it.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's room for us to all learn, right?
So that's exactly all right. Rod, thank you so much, man, and I'll talk to you later,
brother. Yeah, definitely. Good luck with everything, and talk to you soon.
See ya.
Yeah. So I'm gonna end this lecture, and I bet you those who kick dirt in due time, I'm gonna get you, because I be kicking the rear while they be losing the race trying to chase mass appeal.